The Mesa Historical Museum had its grand reopening a few days ago in a very familiar site. It's the old Lehigh School, originally built in the 1880s, and it housed the museum from 1987 until about 7 years ago. Now, with a new director and a renewed mission, the museum is back with an exhibit called Gizmos, Gadgets, and Greatness. I went to meet Executive Director Leon Natker, who's been on the job since October. A former opera singer and executive director of Lyric Opera San Diego, he turned his career toward archaeology and museum studies less than a decade ago. When I arrived at the museum, our plan was to walk its halls and duck into different rooms. But thanks to a donation that unexpectedly included an unexploded wartime ordnance, we were told to evacuate and wait for Mesa Police's bomb squad to arrive, which it did a few minutes later. But that process sent my interview with Natker out into the cool morning air.
This is this corner here of Horn and Lehigh. This was where Daniel Webster Jones and the Utah Company first settled. And this is a replica of the adobe schoolhouse that they built. But right across the street where the LDS Church is now, that was where Fort Utah was in, 1879, 1880, and so on. And that and the original adobe schoolhouse were all washed away in a flood after 1900. And that's when they built the Lehigh School, 1913.
So though this was not the intention as far as keeping the Mesa Historical Museum here, it almost feels like the right place if other things come together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a perfect place for it because the site itself is historic. It is the beginning of Mesa as an entity. I think this is a perfect spot for it. It's a wonderful building. It's in very, very good shape, actually. The floors, the original maple floors are still there, the walls. One of the problems the museum has had is there simply isn't enough room to exhibit everything that we've got. We have like just in the auditorium, we've got a wagon from the turn of the century. We have two Surreys. There are in storage. There are two international trucks that from 1911 and 1913 that actually work. I could get them out. That would be great to get them out. We have a stagecoach.
So what's the approximate square footage of this? And in an ideal world, how much room would you have?
The schoolhouse itself is a total square footage of about 8,000 square feet. And that's divided up into six different classrooms plus the hallways. So that's, you've got maybe 6,000 usable feet in that. The auditorium itself is about 3,500 square feet. And then there's six more classrooms. They need a lot of work. The classrooms, I think, would be ideal to house archival materials. They've got cement floors. We could put in what we call compacting shelving that museums use. And I think it would be great to bring all of the archives of Mesa.
You were heavily involved in arts organizations before, but got to preservation a little bit later in your career. So talk to me as someone who has gone into archaeology and is extremely passionate about this. What is the most inspiring thing about this work, but what's the most challenging?
I think you have to be I hate to use the term, you have to be a certain kind of a nerd to do it, to be in this. You have to really love it. I mean, they call me in archaeology, I'm a ceramicist. I'm into the pottery stuff. So they call us sherd nerds. And, you give me a box of broken up ancient pottery and stick me in a room and I'll be happy for days going through all of that. I think what's exciting about it is getting connected to the past is important. I think to most people, actually, they don't realize it, but they get excited about. I know when I've done programs with little kids, third, fourth, fifth graders, you hold an arrowhead or something and you say, this is, 3,000 years old. They're like, oh, wow, that's so cool. And by the same token, you can have an absolutely perfect laser-made replica of it and say, oh, well, this is a replica. And they're like, eh, big deal. It's like when they go to the dinosaurs, oh, the bones, they're so old. And then you say, oh, well, this is a replica. And they're like, eh, I'm not so excited. So historical things, there's something about our human condition. We get excited. We always have. Now, the challenge, of course, is to have enough resources to properly preserve it, to properly take care of it, and to properly display it and make it available to people, because I'm all about making it available to people. Artifacts don't do anybody any good sitting in a box.
You and I were planning to do this interview inside. People listening can hear the car noises. They wonder why we're outside. So something was found in the museum because someone donated it. How often does it happen that just something sort of, we'll just sort of say, this is historic, you're a historical museum, I want to leave it to you?
Actually, quite often. This was a baby in a basket. They get left on the doorstep. Literally, they get left on the doorstep. We come in the morning, and there'll be a box by the gate with a note saying, we thought you would want this. And sometimes it's something absolutely wonderful, and sometimes it's something that has no value whatsoever. It goes through a process. All museums, there's both an ethical and a legal process that they have to go through for accessioning items, and we have a collections committee. They meet monthly. They look at everything that we've got, what really belongs in our collection, and what doesn't belong in our collection. So we're outside because somebody left something that shouldn't have been left in a box in the first place. I don't know if my father came back from World War II and had a bunch of stuff, you know, the old ordnance and weaponry and so on. And we learned, you know, we had to deal with it over time. And I think that it's interesting that it's this far away from it. We're still getting those little babies in a basket with unaccounted for ordnance from World War II.
Based on location, you pointed out the LDS Church across the street. LDS Church is a major part of Mesa. Is it going to be a major part of the museum? Is that something that you would talk with church leaders and that kind of thing? Because this is so unique to Mesa in a lot of ways.
It is, and yes, it's a major part of Mesa. The first Euro-American settlers were LDS church members. You have to talk about it in terms of the history, but you can't ignore that. Very quickly, you had a major Hispanic community here. You had a major African American community here. We had Chinese workers from who are still here from the railroad. There was a very large Japanese community here. And then, of course, right across the river, the Pima and Maricopa tribes were there. And so, we're going to tell all of those stories. That's what a history museum is about.
And that was my conversation with Mesa Historical Museum Executive Director Leon Natker outside of the museum. The Gizmos, Gadgets, and Greatness, Technologies That Built Mesa, 1877 to 1957 exhibit, is open until June 1st.